Well, hello everyone. I wasn't expecting to make this video, and it's, well, look at the date of its release. Do you think I was expecting to have to make and release this video? No. I mean, heck, I don't even have a Thursday video title thing, so I had to use the Friday one. And don't worry, there will be a proper Friday video, the one I actually planned for, coming out tomorrow. Nonetheless, for some reason, I can't imagine why, battleships are in the news. And that means that everybody and their dog has suddenly become a naval expert, as is usually the thing with current thing trending on popular social media platform. Now, the reason I'm making this is because plenty of people in various comments on various videos were saying, no, you need to tell us what you think about current battleship ideas. Well, I'm not going to do that, because the channel is a history channel. But if you do want to hear what my ideas are on in terms of what history says a modern battleship could be, well, you can, well, some of you will be coming to the conference on HMS Belfast, and those of you who can't, well, you'll be able to see the recordings of those various things coming up as and when I decide to put them up at some point in the new year. And I would like the record to show that, of course, for those of you who've been paying attention to the advertisements for said conference, I was already planning on talking about what a modern battleship should be at said conference before all these current shenanigans showed up. So, with that out of the way, let's get back to history. Because one thing that I have been subjected to as a result of all these current shenanigans is a breathtaking number of people with some of the most historically ignorant and ridiculous takes on what a battleship is, and also why they haven't been a thing in modern navies for, well, 80-ish years. I mean, completely disregarding the fact that the Iowa was kept coming back. You know, someone should make a somehow the Iowa was returned meme. But nonetheless, I'm going to address two things. One is, what is a battleship? And secondly, why were battleships rendered obsolete, or why is it commonly thought that battleships were rendered obsolete by the Second World War, and by, more specifically, the aircraft carrier? So, first of all, what is a battleship? Well, a lot of people go, clearly, it's this. Look, here's a very pretty battleship. And I'll give you, yes, this is a fairly attractive-looking battleship. But they'll be saying, look, a battleship is a big ship with big guns and lots of armor. To which I say, yes, congratulations. You have managed to define a battleship by describing the battleship in its final form, which covers only a fraction of the total time that a ship that could reasonably be called a battleship has actually existed. Essentially, you've done the same thing as looking at an F-22 and going, clearly a warplane is something that is stealth-coated, armed with missiles and powered by jet engines. Yes, that is technically the definition of a modern warplane. That is not, however, the definition of the vast majority of warplanes, nor does it define warplane as a term. Because, yes, this is a battleship with lots of big guns and heavy armour. But step it back only a few decades, and here's another USS Iowa. And yes, she does have big guns for her time period, but there aren't an awful lot of them. There's only four of them, and some other ships that were defined as battleships in her era had only two. And she's got quite a lot of smaller guns, intermediate guns, small guns, all sorts of guns. And admittedly, she still does have a fair bit of armour. But here's HMS Canopus, roughly speaking contemporaneous with the first USS Iowa, at least the first battleship Iowa. And she's got a few big guns, lots of smaller guns. Look up our armor stats, though. That is not a huge amount of armor. It's substantial-ish, but there are some cruisers of her time period that are actually, technically speaking, better protected than her, at least in terms of absolute thickness. Step back another decade or so, and we're at HMS Benbow, one of the Admiral-class battleships, and that's not a huge number of big guns. Admittedly, it is a big gun, and there is another one at the back, but we've now gone from 9 big guns to 4 big guns to 2 big guns. And, okay, we're still on a lot of armour, but wind back another couple of decades, and we arrive at HMS Warrior, the Royal Navy's first ironclad battleship. And, there's no big guns here. Now, granted, her guns aren't small, but there are an awful lot of them, and they're not any size greater than the guns you could find on an awful lot of other ships. You see, up until this point, 16-inch, 12-inch, 13.5-inch guns, granted, you're pretty much, outside of a few very strange cruisers, only going to find them on capital ships. Warrior, however, is rocking 68-pounders and 110-pounders, and you can find 68-pounders and 110-pounders on almost every single ship of the Royal Navy in this period, right down to gunboats. Now, granted, she has more of these guns than most of those other ships, but still, they're not bigger than everybody else's, the same way that the previous capital ship's guns were. But step back even a handful of years from Warrior, and you get ships that look like this. This one is HMS Duke of Wellington, but substitute in a ship of the line of your choice. And what do we find here? Well, once again, like Warrior, we have no guns that are particularly any bigger than guns you'd find on almost any other warship, just a lot of them. And indeed, if we go back further still, another few decades to the time of the Battle of Trafalgar, well, here we've got Bucentaur, Redoutable, Victory, and Santissima Trinidad. First-rate battleships in two of their cases, and third rates in the other two. And yes, there are 32 and 36 pounder guns present, but there are also 24 pounders and 18 pounders and 12 pounders. And there are frigates that have gun decks that carry heavier guns than some of those gun decks. You know, 12 pounder upper gun deck, well, USS Constitution's main gun deck is purely 24 pounders. So while the Duke of Wellington carried some of the larger guns, even if lots of other ships down to very small sizes did so, here we have what are unquestionably battleships, and now not only are they not carrying any guns that are bigger than guns you can find on much smaller warships, they're also carrying a lot of guns that are smaller than the ones you can find on many smaller warships. The key differentiator here just being there's an awful lot of them. And before someone starts jumping up and down saying, no, they're ships of the line, look at the etymology. What does the term battleship come from? It comes from originally the very long form, ship that is suited to stand in the line of battle. That, as a category, i.e. a ship that carries enough firepower and is strong enough to stand in the main fleet and face the enemy in a major fleet action, has been foreshortened in many different ways, but all meaning pretty much the same thing. You have ship of the line, line ship, line of battle ship. Oh, look, take off the line of and you get battle ship. In the middle of the Victorian period, there was even a trend for calling them liners. Because ship of the line, take off the ship of again. Oh, look, line. Multiple thereof, liner. That fortunately went away when ocean liners started coming about and people realised that could get very confusing. And, well, here's the Mary Rose. This is also a battleship. And from the Duke of Wellington on backwards, you'll notice that all being made of wood, they don't really have much in the way of armour. Yes, a ship of the line or a line battleship or whatever terminology you want to use will tend to have a thicker and heavier hull than a frigate, which does afford a degree of protection against lighter gunfire and long-range gunfire, but at the typical ranges you're actually going to engage in your knockdown, drag-out fight, it's not really going to afford you much protection at all against point-blank cannon fire from almost any caliber that a peer vessel is going to be shooting at you. So clearly, a battleship is not defined by having huge amounts of armour. In fact, there are only really two things that link Mary Rose and Spanish galleons through to Yamato, Iowa, and Vanguard, and that is that battleships, line of battleships, ships of the line, as I said, whatever terminology you want to use, basically the biggest and meanest ships in your fleet, have a lot of whatever the best firepower of the time is, and they have the best protection available for that time period. The fact that in the first half of the 20th century, this meant gigantic artillery guns and slabs of steel armor does not crystallize and freeze the definition of a battleship at that level. And yes, people might argue, yeah, but that was what the last battleships had. Well, yes, but look back at what we just discussed. By that definition, you wouldn't have been able to call ironclads battleships because the previous definition would have been ship made of wood, firing smoothbore guns. And then you wouldn't have been able to call HMS Devastation a battleship because at that point, the definition would have been armored ship with lots of guns. Devastation didn't have that many guns. And then when you move forward to the Dreadnought period, Dreadnought would be said to be not a battleship because the previous battleships had some big guns and lots of smaller guns for secondary battery fire. So you can't restrict yourself to, oh, well, that's what the last battleship was called, and be very specific about what the last generation used, because the terminology is somewhat fluid. So, to recap, battleship, in the truest sense of the word, simply means a big warship with the best in current firepower and the best in current protection. If a ship ticks that box, then it is arguably a battleship. If it doesn't tick those boxes, it's definitely not a battleship. But it doesn't have to have massive great artillery cannons and big slabs of armor if those do not constitute the latest and greatest in firepower and protection. So then we move on to what supposedly made battleships obsolete. Why did most people stop using them after the Second World War? And for those nations that retained them, why did they mostly not use them in the kind of frontline combat role that they had previously served in? Well, a lot of people will say it's either the aircraft carrier or aircraft or a combination of both. And it can certainly be said that the aircraft carrier then supplanted the battleship as the frontline big, heavy capital unit in various world navies for overseas power projection for the second half of the 20th century and then obviously into the 21st. But why did this happen? Was it perhaps because battleships were too slow? No. The fastest battleships were just as fast as the fastest aircraft carriers, and in fact, by the end of the Second World War, the slowest battleships still considered frontline, and certainly all the modern ones, were actually considerably faster than a good number of aircraft carriers, especially the escort carriers, but also some other carriers that were considered at least light fleet carriers. So battleships certainly aren't lacking in the speed department. Was it perhaps the protection department? Actually, absolutely not. In fact, at the end of World War II, battleships were far, far tougher cookies and far, far better protected against incoming attacks than any aircraft carrier then afloat. The vast, vast, vast majority of aircraft carriers had little to no torpedo defense. And, well, quite a number of carriers are sitting on the bottom of the ocean precisely because of that. Most aircraft carriers possessed very little in the way of armor, and even the ones that did possess a degree of armor only had that protection against cruiser-grade gunfire and or the average bomb. They certainly weren't going to stand up to heavy battleship-grade shell fire, and they certainly weren't going to be able to stand up to any kind of very substantial bomb, and in a lot of cases, they could be critically damaged or sunk by even relatively small bombs. Things that battleships tended to shrug off as if they were almost unbothered. I mean, if you want to be cruel, a kamikaze smashes into an Essex-class carrier, that's 600 to 700 people dead, and the ship's going back to Pearl Harbor for 6 months and possibly back to the continental United States. A kamikaze smashes into a US fast battleship in exactly the same formation, and it's called, oh look, I'm walking along the side of USS Missouri, there's a small dent in the edge. And battleships carried far heavier anti-aircraft armaments than carriers did, which is why one of the best battle strategies at the Battle of the Philippine Sea, aka the Great Marianas Turkey Shoot, was let's put the battleships up front because then the Japanese will attack them and it's precious little chance they'll actually be able to do all that much to them because they'll mostly get chewed up by the AA fire and the few that get through won't be able to do all that much damage because the battleships are incredibly heavily protected. Whereas if that same Japanese attack wave reaches the aircraft carriers, it could go a lot worse. And yes, of course, before people start running into the comments of course, at the Battle of the Philippine Sea, the Hellcats proved to be very deadly against incoming Japanese aircraft as well. But you'll note both from the damage records and from the photos and video caught at the battle that even though there were a ridiculous number of Hellcats involved, they were not able to stop the Japanese aircraft from reaching either the US battleship line or indeed some of them reaching the US carriers. Which is why there are so many photos of the immense flak clouds that the battleship line put up and then the carriers and their escorts had to put up to catch the stragglers. So is it perhaps firepower? Because, well, speed protection and firepower, those are the things that, generally speaking, constitute a warship on a basic level. Well, technically, no. A battleship is always going to win a gunfight with an aircraft carrier. Just ask Glorious or any number of small escort carriers caught at the Battle of Samar. Just exactly what happens when you end up in gun range of a battleship when you're a flat top. So why then did everybody stop using battleships and start using aircraft carriers? Well, it basically boils down to one simple thing, a subset of the firepower category, and that is range. You see, by the 1940s, a battleship could kill pretty much anything in existence as long as that thing was kind enough to briefly exist within a 20-mile radius of the battleship, give or take a little bit. And that meant the battleship had to usually go and find the thing that it wanted to kill, and very often the thing that it wanted to kill would run away, which could be a problem. However, an aircraft carrier could take its munitions, whether they be torpedoes, bombs, rockets, or a mixture of all three, and it could hit things 300, 400, 500 miles away, a massively greater range. And also, no one is outrunning a plane with a ship. Now, granted, you did have to therefore find the thing you wanted to attack, but that was kind of a problem for pretty much anybody. So the big thing that a carrier held over a battleship was it could just hit much, much further out. If you put a carrier up against a battleship, the carrier could hit the battleship when the battleship couldn't hit back, and the carrier could keep hitting the battleship time and time and time again as the battleship tried to close in, and therefore the greater levels of protection that the battleship had didn't necessarily matter quite as much, because even if you didn't get it the first time round, you'd probably have two or three more goes at least before it became a major problem. And of course, that also translated into you can hit targets on land considerably further inland than battleship gunfire support can. And that is basically the key thing that allowed the carrier to supplant the battleship. Purely the fact that it could hit things much, much, much further away, and in a lot of cases, it could hit things beyond the range at which those things could hit back. And if they did try to hit back in a similar way, i.e. with aircraft, it could of course defend itself at long distance, using its fighters to try and prevent any of those munitions coming the way of the carrier, or at least greatly reducing the number of munitions coming at the carrier. Whereas, of course, with a battleship, if it was going to go toe-to-toe with a peer opponent, 9 times out of 10, the other side is going to be flinging some shells at you, even if you get a near-flawless victory. So no, there was no intrinsic property of being an aircraft carrier that instantly, forever and a day, always made a battleship an obsolete platform. Apart from anything, certainly by the end of World War II, there were still plenty of conditions in which a carrier couldn't operate that a battleship could, like, say, bad weather, fog, and in a lot of cases, night, although to be fair, night-capable aircraft were gradually filtering in by the end of the Second World War. So there were circumstances where a battleship technically could level the playing field quite a bit in order to try and close in on an aircraft carrier or carrier group, but they were limited and dependent on transient conditions, which, as technology advanced, became smaller and smaller windows. At which point, the question for battleships becomes, do you have some way of matching or exceeding the strike distance of carriers and or massively beating the carrier in terms of air defense? In which case, battleships would become unobsolete again. And shockingly enough, when you look at the post-war American battleship plans, as I've detailed in a couple of videos in the past, what do you find? Anti-aircraft battleships and battleship programs to develop extended-range guided munitions, addressing exactly those two problems. And just to cap it off, I thought I'd quickly address probably the two most common examples that might be brought up trying to argue that carriers ultimately doom battleships. Of course, one, the sinking of HMS Prince of Wales. No, that is not technically speaking an example of the battleship being obsoleted in this case by aircraft, because no carriers were involved. It is, again, if you reference the video that I did on 4Z and its loss, actually an example of how poor intelligence can doom anything. In this case, it happened to be a battleship and a battlecruiser, because, well, if you're told that the enemy can't possibly reach you and you have no recourse to external fighter support, bear in mind that's what you're told, then even if Prince of Wales and Repulse were a pair of carriers, they wouldn't have had a combat air patrol up, because why would you need to? Because no one can reach you, and then aircraft show up and, well, the attack would have hit you before you get any meaningful number of aircraft in the air. So, yeah, intelligence failure, not intrinsic to being a battleship. And then switching over to the other big battleship versus carrier thing, Yamato. Now, yes, this time Yamato was definitely sunk by aircraft carriers, well, the aircraft from them, more specifically, also the fate of her sister ship, Musashi, somewhat earlier in the war. However, as I've said before on the channel, if you add up the tonnage of the carriers that went and attacked Yamato, at the very minimum, just from the two task groups that provided most of the aircraft, you're talking about 200,000 tons plus of aircraft carrier tonnage versus the 70-odd thousand tons of Yamato. 200,000 tons of practically any warship type would have sunk Yamato just as convincingly. I mean, you're talking about the same tonnage that's the equivalent to all four Iowas, or all six of the other US fast battleships, or the entire run of King George V's plus Warspite, or 100 Fletcher-class destroyers. And if you're going to turn around and tell me that, you know, six fast battleships or four Iowas or 100 Fletchers wouldn't also have dealt with Yamato incredibly quickly and incredibly decisively, in fact, possibly faster and more decisively than 200,000 tons worth of aircraft carriers and their aircraft? Well, yeah, okay, if you want to believe that. Now, if 70,000 tons, i.e. two Essex classes worth of aircraft, could have stopped Yamato before she got to a uncomfortably close position, that's quite an interesting thought exercise to go through. But nonetheless, obviously Yamato was sunk, and the main thing this demonstrated, apart from the fact that, well, late World War II US Navy had all the carriers, was, again, that whole thing about we can hit you at very long range and you can't really do much about it other than soak up the damage. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it was a mistake to use aircraft carriers instead of battleships as your frontline major capital warship in, well, the second half of the 20th century going on into the 21st. As we've outlined, there are reasons why this happened, and they were good reasons. They're just not the absolute overarching, this is the end of days reasons that you see people throwing around an awful lot online. Practically every warship type in existence has at some point had its heyday and has at some point been eclipsed by something new, and then that warship has in turn been eclipsed by something newer still, and sometimes it's a return to an older form or concept, just revamped and updated. So who knows what things are going to be like in the future? I mean, I'm sure during all of this, there have been various angry submariners throwing things at the screen and yelling that the submarine is the modern capital ship. And that's a whole separate other discussion. I mean, certainly the SSBNs have got the firepower bit locked in. So there you go. Hopefully that recaps a little bit more accurately what a battleship actually is and is not, and why battleships kind of went away and were replaced by aircraft carriers. And with that in mind, well, either this was a distracting 25 minutes or so, or you can now go back to screaming at each other on Twitter or Blue Sky or Facebook or wherever the heck these discussions are taking place at the moment. But at least it will now be historically accurate screaming. I meanwhile have several bags of differently flavoured popcorn and, to a certain extent, am highly amused by the whole thing. while also being subtly amazed at just how many people can be experts in things like tank warfare and then immediately pivot to becoming experts in sixth generation fighters, and then pivot to becoming immediate experts in nuclear power plants, and then very quickly learn everything there is to know about the finer points of some foreign country's legal system. And now this massive herd of incredibly talented, you know, 250 IQ individuals have suddenly all become experts on warship design. I wonder what they'll become experts on next. Meanwhile, I'm going to sit back here in my Naval History Corner and wrap up the final finer points of what exactly drove the Germans to design and build SMS Blücher. Bye for now.